But he goes to cities in Africa, and he goes to districts and cities called the red light districts. And these are places where no one wants to go, places where people would not want to be seen or heard that they were there. And he goes up these streets, and they're lined with women who are selling their bodies all night to men. And these women have to sleep with sort of five guys each night for a dollar a time. And their kids are running around playing in these streets whilst these women do this. Hundreds, thousands of women. And this guy from New York, he goes up this street and he starts telling them about Jesus. And he rescues these women. He takes them and he starts training them to be teachers. And there's photos of him walking these women down the aisle on their wedding day. They're getting married to a man who loves them, and he gets to be, this guy from New York, gets to be their dad for a day. Wouldn't you want to live that life? Wouldn't you want to be that person who goes and rescues women and tells them about Jesus and gets to worship the living God with them and knowing that you're going to spend eternity with them and their lives have been transformed? You know, that sort of life, that gets me really excited. And some guy asked him, you know, what's the secret? Why do you do this? And surprisingly, he says that he gets up every morning and he gets on his knees every morning, whether it's a Monday or Saturday or a Sunday or a bank holiday Monday. They probably don't have them in America, but you get the point. He gets up and he says, this is going to be the best day of my life. Every morning. You know, when I heard that, I was like, that sounds tiring. I mean, can you imagine every morning getting up saying, this is going to be the best day? Even if you're going to school or college. I was like, wow. You know, we want to throw away days, don't we? You know, we want to just chill out some days, do nothing, blob around. Maybe even weeks at a time. I don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. But we do. We just want to throw away days. But imagine if you took hold of every single day. Just like that guy. Do you ever feel sometimes that your life is a bit out of control? That you can't control things? I mean, you know, do you ever feel like you can't control how your friends are going to react to each other? I mean, react to you. You know, you don't know how people are going to respond to you. You don't know who's going to invite you to their birthday. You know, you can't decide how popular you're going to be at school, right? It's kind of a roll of a dice. I mean, you can try hard, but really it's just, you just don't know how people are going to respond to you. You don't know, I mean, if you have a paper round and, you know, you're coming up to Christmas and you work really, really hard, don't you, to sort of encourage people to give you tips. You know, you sort of send a nice, happy Christmas card. But really you're saying, can I have some money? But you can't control how generous that person is going to be. You can't. You don't know how much money you're going to get in from one year to the next when you do your paper round. But you see, I started searching the scriptures. And you come to realize that yes, you're not in control of a lot, but you are in control of something. And that is your relationship with God. You know, you're in control of your prayer life. You're in control of the next time you want to meet with God. You know, there's nothing stopping you from being the most godliest person in this room. The Apostle Peter says that you have been given everything for life and godliness, namely the Holy Spirit. He says this, he says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, Jesus, who called us to his own glory and excellence. And you see, this gift of the Holy Spirit is for each follower of Jesus. You know, it isn't just for the so-called elite Christians. Because he says a few verses before, he says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Guys, I really want you to get this, okay? This whole area of equality in faith. You know, you may look up to people like Mike Pilavarci or Andy Croft or our Pastor David. All those guys on the stage yesterday, you might look up to them. And maybe you're thinking, if only I was like that guy. If only I was a Mike Pilavarci. If only I was an Andy Croft. If only I had that sort of relationship with God. If only I could be a godly guy like him or her. Yet you see, Peter is telling us that we, you, have obtained a faith of equal standing with everyone else. And there's no age limit to this. I mean, you young guys, there's no age limit to it. It says, to those who obtained a faith of equal standing with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, because all that Christ is for you, because all that he has done for you, because you guys can say, I am forgiven in Christ. Your relationship with God is of equal standing to that of Peter, to that of Mike, to that of anyone who's a Christian. I mean, you could really be quite cheeky and say, hey, Peter, if you got to meet him, which you will one day, your faith was as equal standing to mine. I mean, you know, we get excited about Peter, don't we, in Acts, but he's saying, you've got a faith like mine. My role's quite special, but my relationship with God is the same as you. Can you remember hearing about those stories of the Old Testament when you grew up? I mean, I didn't grow up at church, but I'm sure when you guys were growing up, some of you, you heard about these stories of the great miracles that God did. And when you heard them, when you were told them, or when they were acted out to you, did you ever think this? Did you ever think to yourself, God, I wish I could have seen one of those? You know, like, I wish I could have seen fire come down of heaven, out of heaven, even if it was just like halfway, God. It doesn't have to be the whole way, but if I could just see like part of it come down. Or if I could have seen like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego thrown in the fire, if only I could have been there. Or maybe you read the New Testament and you're like, I wish I could have seen Jesus walk on water. I wish I could have seen him calm the storm. I wish I could have seen him heal a blind man, like someone who's really blind, not some guy with an itchy eye, but like, you know, like literally healed someone. Do you ever think that? Because guys, I do. You know, I think that. I wish I was there. But you see, because we do this, don't we? But you see, if that's what we're thinking, if we're wanting to be back then there's something wrong with our understanding of the Holy Spirit and our experience of God. You know, if we're longing for the Old Testament times, for the times of Jesus, then we don't understand what God has given us, namely the Holy Spirit. You see, in our passage tonight, and some of you are a little bit nervous now because you're like, he's just got to the passage. It's worth it. And I'm going to take a little bit of time, but it's worth it, guys. If you want to turn, if you've got your phones or your Bibles, to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. I'm just going to get some water. That's Ephesians chapter 1, 11 to 14. This is the book that we're going through together at Encounter. And Paul says this. He says, in him, so in Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. In him you also, so that's us guys, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. I think some of you are quite excited because you hear that you get to you get an inheritance as a Christian. I got quite excited when I read that. And we're going to just reflect on that near the end. But to guarantee this thing that God is going to give you, your Father's going to give you, he places within you the Holy Spirit. And you see, guys, everyone back in the Old Testament times, in the times of Jesus, they were wanting to be you. They wanted to live when you were living. You see, God spoke through this guy called Ezekiel way back then, thousands of years ago. And he said this, he said, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules." You know, what God is saying through Ezekiel is that there is going to be a time when God is going to remove that heart of stone from people and put a heart of flesh, a heart of love, compassion, joy, passion for God. And not only that, but the presence of God is going to be in that person. And when they heard this, they were like, "Zeke, you gotta stop. You gotta stop. You're saying that God is gonna put his presence in people?" I mean, guys, they only understood that God dwelt in a temple. You know, probably the size of this place. And there was a curtain and he dwelt. God, the presence of God dwelt behind there. And only one guy could go into that place every year. And God is saying for Ezekiel, "I'm going to put it in people, Christians." And God is saying, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be like bonkers. So he takes Ezekiel down into this valley. And this valley is not a nice meadow, nice lush grass. But Ezekiel is walking on bones. You can just imagine the sound, can't you? The horrible sound of walking on thousands of bones. And then he stops. And they start rattling. And then they start to rise up these bones to form skeletons. And then God starts to put flesh on them. And around Ezekiel is hundreds of people. And God breathes within them his spirit to make them alive. And God is saying, that is what happens to a Christian when they come to know me. I bought some chicken bones. Here we are. So let's just do this together. Okay. Okay. Okay, he's not going to do it. But can you imagine if they started like joining together and flesh started to come on them and then feathers and it was like, brah, 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 you know, we would go mental. I mean, we'd be like, best encounter ever. I mean, seriously, we would freak out. And that's what God is saying. People should freak out at you and I. Your friends at school should be saying, I used to know her. She wasn't like that. He wasn't like that. Look at them now. I just don't understand what's happened to them. This is what God is saying happens to people when his spirit comes in them. So I'm just going to put them down here in case anything happens. Let me know. Yeah. You go, guys, I don't believe tonight that I'm just Nick standing up here, right? I believe that I'm a temple of God and that he is in some way speaking to you. And when you gave your life to Jesus, and that may have been when you're 7 or 6 or maybe 11 or 12, and it may not have been some sort of crazy moment, but when you trusted in Jesus, what happened to you was like that of the valley of bones. And it didn't happen in a physical sense, but it was just as real. It was a spiritual thing, but it was just as real. The presence of God came in you, and you were no longer dead in your ways, but you became alive to the things of God. You know, I remember when I first put my trust in Jesus, instantly I stopped swearing. Instantly. You know, I was a guy who used to swear like every other word. On the way home on my moped, no swearing. God came in me. And there's things he changes just like that. You see, guys, at the beginning of this year, I got this thing. It's pretty good. But can you imagine if someone gave this to me, okay, to get fit? They realized that I struggle playing capture the flag with the young people, and they realize that I need to get fit. And so they give it to me. And after a few months, maybe 3 or 4, I take it back to the shop, and I come up to the guy at the counter, and I'm like, mate, it ain't working. There's something wrong with it. It just, I'm not getting fit. And so the guy starts asking questions, and he says, so how often have you been using it? And I said to him, well, the first week I used it sort of 3 or 4 times. And then second week, a little bit less. And then by the sort of the 3rd or 4th week, I kind of gave up because it wasn't working clearly. And the guy looks at me and goes, but you haven't actually made the effort. The problem is not the machine, it's you. And when we read, and this may sound stupid to you, and I haven't got time to go into it because I want to talk about something else about the Holy Spirit. One of the amazing benefits of the Holy Spirit having it in us. But guys, for a lot of you, you hear about that Ezekiel passage and you're like, but my friends don't react like that to me. I don't notice much change in me. And I can relate to that. You know, I've seen friends from my high school recently, and they really didn't notice much change in me. My hair was a bit different, and my job was a bit different. And I just really want to encourage you, but also challenge you, that Peter talks about us making the effort. You know, God is more interested in your character than what situation you're in. He wants your character to become more Christ-like. And Peter says, when your character is more Christ-like, you will be more effective for me. And so, guys, you've got to get on and you've got to make the effort. You know, Peter talks about adding to your faith knowledge. You know, reading the scriptures, becoming more self-controlled, becoming more loving to brothers. You've got to get on. And, you know, he's given you the Spirit, but you've got to make the effort. You know, you've got to spend time with God reading his word. You've got to You've got to, you know, to know how to love, you've got to learn how to love. I've learned that over the last 3 years. It takes time to learn how to love like Jesus. But it makes you way more effective, and people start to notice it. And people start to just see, just wow, I used to know you. You're so different. And you can say it is God. It's the grace of God. Paul says, you know, I worked harder than the rest, but it was the grace of God. But he acknowledges that he had to work hard. You have to work hard at the Christian faith. You have to spend time adding, making your character grow. And Peter says you will be more fruitful. You know, that guy back in New York, you know, the guy from New York, you know, he made every effort to go to Africa. He made every effort. And his life just inspires, and I'm amazed by it. And you can be that person to your friends. You can be someone who your friends are like, wow, I wish I could be like her. Pardon me. And so what I really want to talk to you about, and that is your inheritance. You know, that passage talks about that a Christian has received an inheritance or is going to receive it. And guys, your inheritance is to be with God forever. It's to be with God in a new creation. I mean, your inheritance in so many ways is literally the new creation. Like, that is going to be yours. The new galaxies, the new Milky Way. The people of God are going to dwell in it. And you're going to inherit, it's going to be yours forever. Wow. And you see, to guarantee that, God has placed in you the Holy Spirit. And you see the Holy Spirit, you know, God within us. And guys, it is so hard to understand that God dwells within us, but it's true. And it's amazing. And what it is, you're able to enjoy the presence of God. And enjoying the presence of God now in your life is like an echo of a much larger sound to come. You know, what you're going to receive is the presence of God forever. And God puts his Spirit within you to give you a taste of what it's going to be like. And just before I invite the band up, I just want to talk to you about my own experience of meeting with God as a Christian. And let me tell you this, it takes effort. It takes effort. And the other night I was doing my portfolio a few weeks ago from my college, and I was on it all day, you know, sort of 9 o'clock to sort of 10 o'clock at night, you know. And I had this hunger within me about 10 o'clock at night to want to meet with God. But I was like, you know what, I kind of deserve sleep, you know. But then I realized, no, I want to meet with God. And God wants to meet with me. He's not holding back on me. But I have to make the effort. And so I went down to my living room. And guys, I just put on some music. And I opened the Word of God. And I just said, God, come, please meet with me. And let me tell you, okay, it takes effort. But you give him an inch and he will take a mile. You don't have to work that hard. Within 5 minutes, God's presence was there. And for me, God's presence is, I just feel the peace of God in the room within me. You know, sometimes people feel very hot. You know, that sometimes people, you know, sweat. Sometimes people cry. You know, there's been times where I've just cried for like half hour, 40 minutes, tears of joy because God is just with me. And the crazy thing is we get to do that wherever, not just here tonight, but in your bedroom, on the way to school. And it's different for everyone, but you know it when it happens. You just know when God's with you, when you feel it, but you've got to make the effort. You know, if you're watching TV and you're wondering why God isn't meeting with you, well, it's because you're watching TV. You've got to turn the TV off and get on your knees and just wait for him. It does take effort, guys. And tonight, you know, my heart, and I'm trusting God that he is just wanting to meet with us tonight. And it's going to take a little bit of effort on our part. You know, I was at Big Church Day Out last night, and, you know, they put on an epic performance, don't they? You know, some of those bands. I mean, Worship Central, lights, all the sort of, you know, stuff, smoke machine and all that. Guys, they've made the effort. Like, they've made a lot of effort. And I start to see that when I howl on the band practice. But us, as the crowd, you know, we're the church, we have to make the effort as well. You know, if you're just standing there, just... my experience, not much is going to happen. You know, if you're just standing there on your phone, or if you're just nudging your friend, or, you know, you're goofing around... guys, you've got to make the effort. You know, that song said, pull up holy hands. In some ways, it's a command. Put your hands up and praise God. You know, and don't be ashamed what people think of you. You know, no one's looking at you. We're meant to be looking to God. We're meant to be worshiping him. And so there's that real sense of you've got to make the effort. And so tonight, as I just invite the band up, if you just want to come up, I'm just going to pray for us as the bands play. And guys... Some of you experienced the presence of God before. Some of you haven't, but you identify yourself as a Christian, someone who's following Jesus. Some of you, it's been a long time. And so I'm just going to pray for us, but it'd be good if we could just stand and as the band play. And guys, be expectant. And we're going to continue to worship God, and we're going to make the effort. And he responds. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you cover all our sins. Lord, no matter what day we've had, what night we've had. Lord, no matter how far we've run in our faith, you have covered all our sins if we trust in you. That we can say, I am forgiven, and we can come to the throne of grace with confidence. And Father, we thank you that you have placed your presence within us, within each one of us. And there's times where we don't feel it, there's times where we wonder where you are, but Father, you never remove it, you never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would come and fall in this place, and that we would make the effort. Lord, we would put up our hands, we would get on our knees, and we would bow to the King of Kings. Lord, we thank you.